We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com.
And out on the road where we proceeded to church, arriving only 5 minutes late. Maggie commented to Tom, "We need to fix that fence tomorrow." It was a great church service with a full house, and the Amen Corner was in great voice. All my siblings attend this church, and I'm grateful for them, and I'm grateful that they carry on the legacy. If you know Karen, Rick and Marilyn, Tony and Chip, you know of their character, generosity, giving, and service. I wanted to add one more thing, and bear with me because I'm probably going to cry. I was out of town when Tony shared. She mentioned the death of our sister, Christy. I'll piggyback on that. Christy did not attend this church and was really supported by her church, but we were really supported by our pastors. And when she was diagnosed, Cynthia and Stephen brought her butt cakes. They know she loved chocolate pie and brought it to her on several occasions. On the morning she passed, Tony, Jeff, and Janet, and Chris's best friend, Luann, were at Penrose ICU. We were in constant contact with Rick and Marilyn and Karen, who were in Arizona. About at the moment when she passed, I looked up and saw Stephen. It meant so much to me that he was there. Chip and Tony were at a meeting when Stephen and Cynthia came to consider coming to this church. Tony texted me, "I really like them." So do I, and I'm grateful for them. Shakespeare penned these words hundreds of years ago. "O Lord, that lends me breath, lend me a heart replete with thankfulness." May that be true of us this season.
Amen, sister. Often what we're thankful for in life is cluttered with some things we're not thankful for. And I am thankful for her story. And her story, what her story is that Jesus has always been there for her, has always been a foundation for her. We're going to sing a song, and feel free just to listen. Stay seated and listen. If you know the song you want to sing along, the words will be on the screen. But really, just let it minister to you, and let it be kind of like your declaration to Jesus of who he is to you. Jesus is our firm foundation. Amen? Amen.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand when everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad when I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through
the world. Thank you, guys. That was beautiful. So you guys heard Sandy's testimony and how thankful she is. Just imagine what it feels like to marry into that family and how blessed I feel to be part of that heritage just through marriage. It's just, wow, it's such a blessing to be part of that amazing family. So I'm just up here to do announcements, but there's some stuff going on in my biological family, not here, just so that there's no gossip, it's not going on in the Rizzuto Davis family, that is just the picture of what happens when we allow sin into our lives a little bit and a little bit, and the depravity that creeps in, and then how it affects everyone around you. And my family is walking through some really painful stuff that is a direct result of sin and depravity. It's not sickness. It's not something that was brought on by the outside world. It's a direct result of some seriously bad choices that have been made. And it breaks my heart. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, "Can you imagine how much it breaks my heart when you guys walk in that sin and depravity?" So this morning, I am thankful that even though we break God's heart like that, that he still sent his son for us. I have been a Christian my whole life, but that feeling some very direct heartbreak, and then imagining how amplified that is for our Savior, and he still died for us. If you have nothing else in your life to be thankful for this morning, hold on to that. If the holidays are hard for you because of death of loved ones or lack of family, hold on to that through this season. All right, now some announcements. We have a lot of Christmas fun that's going on throughout the season here at New Song. We love Jesus and we love to have fun with you guys. So make sure you grab a bulletin. They're on the back table if you didn't grab one. A couple of highlights that I want to hit this morning. If you have not signed up yet for the Progressive Dinner, do so. It's going to be a time of community and relationship building outside of a Sunday morning. And that's where real fellowship, I mean, we fellowship here, but real fellowship happens around food. How many of you know that? So sign up for that Progressive Dinner. This Tuesday at Rizzuto's Ice Cream, we're having a church party. So what time is 6 p.m.? I will be working. I'll be behind the counter. So come see us and get some ice cream. with your church family. And then also just to wrap it up, if you are interested, if you have not yet been baptized and you're interested in doing so, we will be doing baptisms in January. So keep that in the front of your mind. And if that's something you're interested in, come see Pastor Stephen, Pastor Thomas, or myself, and we'll get that ball rolling for you guys, okay? Awesome. At this time, we're going to do offering. So,
good morning, you guys. If the ushers, if you guys wouldn't mind coming forward real quick. And I just got to, before we go, I just got to say, the Lord is faithful. Amen. This is almost, I would say, almost a full circle moment for me. I'm usually not playing bass. And it was so cool this morning to be able to be up there and just look out and see all these men and women who have spoken so much into my life throughout the years. Even when I was knee-high going to church, and the men and women who were up doing this, and now you guys are all here. So that just is such a testament to how faithful our Lord is. But yeah, I just felt like I need to say that. I want to read out of Mark 12 for offering this morning. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. And that's one of the overarching themes throughout the Bible, is just this sense of us growing in our faith. Because we see the heart of God moved in this passage, right? And he's sitting there and he sees all these rich people throwing in large amounts, and he doesn't say anything. It wasn't until the poor widow put in all she had that he stopped his disciples and made a point to teach them something in that moment. Because the Lord, it's this obedience that we are doing here in tithes and offerings, it's not about the amount. It never was. If you guys think you putting money in is that our Lord and Savior needs that's crazy. I mean, he literally speaks and creation is formed. Amen. He doesn't need our money. It's not about that amount. It's always been about that faithfulness. Because the rich, they didn't feel, they gave in great wealth, but there was no testing of their faith in that. They didn't feel it. But the widow, she put in just those two small copper coins, and he says that's all she had to live on. That is faith. And that is where our faith is grown. When we are faithful and when we allow God to test us and provide for us, that is when our faith grows. So just this morning, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we can have the heart of the widow when it comes to our giving, God. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we don't give in comfort, in safety, God. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we give in faith, God. Lord, that we are driven and intentional about giving to the point where we need you to make it, God, and only you, God. So, Lord, I thank you and I praise you. In your name, amen.
We're going to sing a song, but before we do, I want to introduce who's speaking today, and then after the song, you just come right up. You don't need to, because he really likes it when people honor him and clap for him and stuff like that. And I'm just kidding. Glenn and Sharon Pummel are with us today. They were with us for Thanksgiving at our house, and we asked them, since you're in town, we'd love for you to speak, and they were gracious about that. And the thing is, they about 20 years ago, they were the pastors here in Colorado Springs at one of the Four Square churches. And we're here today because of what they built in this town, the foundation they built in this town, and so grateful for them. But the cool thing for me is that they're kind of like my second parents, and it's neat how God just weaves our lives the way he wants to weave them. And there's so many, you could say they're coincidences, but they're not. That my best friend, growing up in St. Louis, Missouri, was a kid in Colorado Springs and also in Santiago, Chile, named Jeremy Pummel, and we got to be great friends and became roommates in college and did a lot of troublesome things with those friends that I was telling you about, my Hawaiian friends. And And he also introduced me to my wife, to Cynthia. Jeremy did. And they're kind of like godparents to us. So if my parents would have died, which you guys didn't, so I'm glad, I would have had to go to you. And in a way, I'm glad. In a way, I would have been okay with going with you as my parents. If you didn't yell at me as much as you yelled at Jeremy and John, I would be okay with that. But truly honored to have you. And I told him he could do no wrong today, even if he was the worst sermon he ever preaches. His heart is gold, and some people will speak and they'll just say whatever, you know. And he made sure that he heard from the Lord for this congregation. And I appreciate that, because he knows how important you are to me. And he took care to do that. I saw him in there praying for a while. I don't want to make him embarrass him, but he's praying. What does God want me to say? So I appreciate that. So go ahead.
You know, when I was a kid, I came to Colorado Springs and heard Glenn's preach, and he's still doing a great job. But you know something? That's good. It's good. In his arms he'll take and shield you. You will find. You will find a solace there.
Wow. Oh my goodness. What a day. I asked him to sing that song because there's so many friends here. My goodness sakes. Is anybody out there? You know, actually, when we were named godparents of Chris and Stephen, we prayed like never before that Jim and Linda would never die. No, actually. Well, it's a privilege to be here, and one of the reasons is because, by the grace of God, we have a lot of friends. Amen? We have a lot of friends. And it's just by his grace. I don't deserve all that God has given me. And I don't deserve the fact that he's my friend. And this morning, I just want to talk to you for a few minutes about my best friend. And I ask him not to put words up on the screen, because I'm kind of on a campaign. I'd like to see us get back to the book. Seriously. I remember the days when we'd say, open your Bibles this morning. And it seems like, I kind of feel like that our country is kind of growing away from the Bible. And that's one of the reasons why we don't know who we are, because we don't know who he is. And if you don't know who he is, then you'll never know who you are. Because it's in him that we find out who we are, because he created us, male and female. You know, and so there's a lot of confusion in our world today. But thank you, Jesus, that he's not the author of confusion, but of peace. And we can have that peace in our hearts. And I believe that I have a kind of a prophetic word this morning, and that is, it'll be kind of the theme that I hope we can come back to. And I'd like to have you open your Bibles, whatever, however you have it, you know, an iPad, whatever, or phone, or whatever, to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, and we'll read on over into chapter 4 as well. And we see this is at the very start of the life of Jesus. And starting starting with verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John the Baptist, at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized, you, and here you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now I want to stop there for just a second, because this is God, the Father, speaking to his Son, and this is the first time that God ever says to anybody, "This is my Son." He said about Abraham, he said, "This is my friend," but he never said it to Adam, because Adam wasn't the son of God. Adam was a creation of God. So Jesus came to show us a deeper relationship with God than Adam could ever have ever done, because Adam wasn't a son, and so God didn't want a bunch of creatures running around. He wanted a bunch of sons in us. So that's why we're privileged to be called sons of God. So let's read on. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." And he answered him and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So we see something really important in this transaction here, I guess we could call it. Jesus had fasted for 40 days, and the Bible says he was hungry. And so the devil came, and what Jesus, the experience that Jesus had had was God saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So the devil came, and his first temptation was tempting him and trying to get Jesus to not forget, but to test what God had said, because he said, "If you are the Son of God," 40 days before, Jesus said, "This is my Son of this is the Son. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." So the devil came and said, "If you are the Son of God." Now Jesus, when he answered him, he said, "It is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God." What we see here is that Jesus didn't go back and rely on past experience. He relied on what God said. And that is something I believe the Lord wants us to hear today, that the worst thing we can ever do in our life is to live depending on past experiences rather than depending on the written word of God. As it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And this is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, where the children of Israel were not real happy with their menu, because they'd been fed for a long, long time with manna. And you remember the story, right? I don't have to go back to that. And so Moses is saying, God has done this to tempt you so that you would learn that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you see the difference here is that bread is a matter. The word of God is an energy. And it's important that we hear that, because, folks, toast is good, but the word of God is energy. And toast will last you halfway through the morning, but the word of God can last you all day long. And so it's important that we begin to learn to live our lives more based on the word of God than our past experience, okay? So now I just said that, and I'm going to go back to a little past experience. But I wanted to point to the word of God. So in 1962, I went to camp, and been in the Four Square Church, but you know how you can have one foot in church and one foot somewhere else? And that's really how my life was lived, until I went to camp in Niobrara, Nebraska. And there I met some friends like Roy Hicks Jr. and the Knapps and some of those people that some of these folks here would know. And do I need to stand right here for the... Okay, all right. So it was at that camp that I rededicated my life to Jesus. And I was baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And it changed my life. And I went home, and I went in and picked up a special friend. We'd been friends for about 8 months. And we went to my house. And I sat down, and I went and got the Bible that my grandmother had given me 2 years before that I'd never opened. And I sat there in our backyard, and I began to try and tell her about the power of the Word of God. But I had no energy. I had no energy because I didn't know the Word. I was just going on a past experience that I'd had the week before. It was an okay experience, but it didn't cut it when you're trying to explain life to somebody that you love. So I vowed at that point, and I said, if I don't do more, anything else in my life, I will at least learn enough of this book to tell someone about Jesus. I didn't know how that would play out. Had no idea. So about 3 days later, I got a call from a guy by the name of Butch Wilson in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. And Butch says, oh, by the way, he said, I wanted to let you know that a group of us guys are going to Life Bible College in 3 days. So I told my dad, I said, hey, Dad, what do you think? He said, well, let's get the chevy ready. And so the next day I was on my way down to Shadron, Nebraska, and on down to Scottsbluff, Nebraska, to meet up with six other guys, and away we went to Life Bible College. So there was a little problem. I didn't realize you're supposed to send in papers and all that stuff. And so he got there and went into the, actually, Butch Wilson wasn't, he was not registered either. We weren't registered or vaccinated or anything. But so we went in and we said, well, here we are. And a guy by the name of Roy Hicks Jr. was with us, and he was his supervisor's son. And so they said, okay, well, good. Do you have some paperwork? Well, no. And they said, well, you know, ordinarily to get in Bible college, you have to have paperwork. And Roy Hicks Jr. said, well, I know these guys, and so roundabout. And so we got in. And so shortly after that, you know how young college or Bible college students are, you're eager to learn the Word. You know, you just want to know what it's all about. And so a guy showed up at Angelus Temple, where the school was, by the name of Dick Mills. And Dick Mills was one of those guys, I think he knew the whole Bible by heart. And so he had a prophetic ministry, but he didn't, you know, say, well, the Lord spoke, told me this. He quoted the Word. And so he would give you a verse of Scripture. And so we were all in line. I mean, we wanted to find out what God was saying and wanted to know the energy of that Word. And so I went in line, and he looked at me and he said, Psalms 2:8. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. I didn't know what that meant, but it parked in my head. So some of the first people we met there were Coleman Phillips, anyway, teachers that made us memorize the Word of God. Made us, not just verses, but chapters of the Bible. And so one of the first chapters I memorized was Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel, say it with me, of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His fruit will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Amen? What an energetic verse of the scripture in the Bible. So I memorized that. I memorized one chapter by mistake, and I still remember it. Because there's energy in the Word of God. So that was in Bible college. Then 4 years later, I graduated by the grace of God. And so who should happen to be at the graduation ceremonies but Dick Mills? So we all lined up again and go up there. And this is 4 years later. And we hadn't seen each other. And so I go up to him. He said, Psalm 2:8, ask of me, and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. So anyway, from there I went to Costa Rica for a year. Met some wonderful missionary friends, Bill and Betty Pritchett, and they were people of the Word. I mean, they were energized by the Word of God. And I also met up with another friend down there that I really didn't like very well because I didn't understand her and she didn't understand me. We couldn't communicate, and it's called Spanish. And so, but you learn it, and what it does, it lines you up that you can share the energy of the Word of God with people that you ordinarily couldn't have spoken to before. And it's still one of my favorite friends. After Sharon, that's the girl I like the best. Because you can go to Chile or wherever and speak Spanish and order the right food, you know, all that stuff. So anyway, so I went to Costa Rica for a year, and Bill Pritchett was a mentor to me because he was truly a man of God and a man of the Word. And so he believed in scriptures that would emphasize the Word, that would emphasize prayer. And he prayed. You know, and as a young college student who, you know, you graduate from Bible college and you think you know everything and you realize you don't know much of anything. And I didn't know how to pray until I followed Bill Pritchett around. I'd go over to church with him. He'd say, let's go over to the church and pray. Okay, good, good. Oh, yeah. And so he'd pray for hours. Hours. And he was, you'd hear him praying to God, and then God, and quoting what God said, and then he'd read from the Word, and he'd pray in tongues, and he'd do all of these things. And he was praying for the souls of the people of Costa Rica. And he wept, and he would pray. And so I thought, wow, I learned something. I learned the power of prayer. And then he did something that I really wondered about if I was wise. And he said, I think I'll take a couple of days to fast and pray. Okay, yeah, I'm in. And so he didn't just fast one day. And there was no food. His wife wasn't cooking any food during that time. So 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, he fasted and prayed for the country of El Salvador. Thank you, Thomas. What a good guy you are. All right, that's my wife. Thank you. The service is getting too dry. So we fasted for 7 days because Scripture says this kind goes out by nothing but by fasting and prayer. And folks, there are things in life when things get real tough, the Word of God would tell you some fasting and prayer. That's why Jesus did it to start off his ministry, just to show the strength and the power of fasting and prayer. All right, so I came home, and Sharon and I renewed a relationship that at the beginning was pretty tough and rough, but, I mean, basically on my part. But we got married and went to Scottsbluff, Nebraska, as pastors. And while we were there, the Lord was blessed. We hung out with the Cleavers and from time to time with all these other guys. And so in 1972, and for some of you, this seems like ancient history. To us old people, it seems like yesterday. But anyway, so in 1972, I picked up a National Geographic. And the National Geographic was talking about a country called Chile and how that Salvador Allende had been elected as president by 38% of the vote. And so he was turning it into another Cuba. And so there were long bread lines and long gas lines and people, girls were disappearing off the streets. The black market flourished. You could sell a car in the black market and buy a building. It was horrible. And so I just began, you know, praying for Chile. Didn't know anything about Chile. And so in 1973, we were going through a time of fasting and prayer in the church. And you know how sometimes you're reading through the scripture and there's just something that really sticks out to you, and so you underline it? And I really didn't understand why this scripture meant so much, but I was reading in Deuteronomy. Any of you ever like reading through, you know, the five Pentateuchs, you know? Not so much. But I was reading through Deuteronomy for whatever reason, and I came on this chapter, this verse, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 through 12. And I just want to read it real quick. Deuteronomy 11, 10 through 12. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from where you came, but the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys and that drinks of the water of the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. I'm sorry, I read that in 72. In 1973, Salvador Allende was overthrown. The eyes of the Lord are upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So in 1975, on probably April or May, I was at the church and Sharon was at the parsonage, and the phone rang. And it was Leland Edwards, the director of missions. And he called and he said, just wanted to call you guys, and we have a country we'd like to have you go to. He said, it's Chile. And wow. Now, we were enjoying Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. It was a good place. People were coming, you know, and our boys were born. John and Jeremy were born there. And so we were pretty happy with being there. And so this really upset the apple cart, you know, that offer. And so we talked about it, went over to the parsonage, and Sharon and I, we talked, and, oh, my goodness, what do you think? I don't know. We need some help on this one. So we went back over to the church, and do you ever do this? Just go. And I did that. And you know what I opened to? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 10 through 12. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from where you came, but the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water of the rain of heaven. Do you know that Chile still holds a record for 348 days in a row of hard rain? It drinks water of the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. So it was kind of like the Lord saying, there you go. So we loaded up and headed to California. And so we found ourselves on the platform of Angelus Temple getting ready to go to Chile. And we took our boys to the nursery. And then we met a couple that would become fast friends later on, Lauren and Erie Holtberg, who were in the nursery. They were just starting in Bible college. And so it just so happened that Sunday morning, who do you think might be at Angelus Temple speaking? Well, Dick Mills. So we go back, you know, he's there praying over us, and he prays over us. Ask of me, and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Do you see the energy in the word of God? Okay. So I just love the Lord. I'm going to only tell you one story about some things that happened in Chile. You know, we were there for 8 years, and you pray, you fast and pray, and you see God do miracles. Young people came to know the Lord. We'd leave. You know, it's 2,700 miles long, and the driest desert in the world and the rainiest part of the world in the south. And so we'd celebrate Christmas. It's summer and Christmas down there. And so 1 year we were so poor that we didn't have presents for Christmas. And so one of the guys that went to the church, he gave us brand new inner tubes. So we aired them up, and Sharon painted a fish and a duck and a fish and a duck and a fish and a duck and a fish and a duck. And those were the presents for the boys that Christmas. And we ate dinner that day and went out to the lake. So, good years in Chile. But one story I want to tell you about Chile. Down there, they didn't have a lot of health. No Social Security. I mean, not Social Security. Poor people just lived with their poverty. And when they got sick, they died. And so I had heard about a young pastor that was sick. So I went over to see him, and he opened the door, and you would have sworn that somebody had rubbed ash on their face. He was ashen. And I said, so what's going on? And he said, and we talked a little bit, and then he said, I've gallstones. And the largest one is the size of my thumb. And he said, there's a whole bunch of them in there. So we talked, and all of a sudden, to God be the praise, the energy of the Word of God over something I'd memorized years before came through. And this was this portion of Scripture out of Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? Now, you might want to not believe this. Well, we prayed, laid hands on him, and we prayed. And I left. And a week later, we were all at a conference, and he was there as healthy as he'd ever been in his life. And he said, those gallstones passed in a thick liquid. I tell you, folks, there's power in the Word of God. So I'm going to close with something that I believe is prophetic. And I don't claim to be a prophet at all. But I do believe that it's important for some of you here this morning to understand that some of you have been living your lives probably thinking more about past experiences, and maybe your life affected more by your past experiences than by God's word. And that's not a rebuke at all. Hopefully that's an encouragement, because Jesus wants you to be free. And his word sets us free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he doesn't want you to have to live by past experiences, the negative past experiences, the things that have happened in the past that he's already forgotten about. But you know the devil has a really good memory, and he'll bring that stuff back to you. But you don't have to live that way. And the Word of God every single day can come to mean something special to you. And it can shore you up, and it can help you to become all that God has intended you to be. And so your past experience can become a positive experience in the future for somebody else, because odds are that you'll run into people who have gone through the same or going through the same experience that you went through. And as you take the Word of God in and you share that Word of God, it becomes an energy to them that they've never known before. Amen? That's all I have to say. But I believe that Jesus has something more to say. You know, can we bow our heads? Jesus, 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 we're so grateful for your goodness. We're so grateful for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to be really bold here. Well, maybe while you're... I haven't done this for a long time, but just with eyes closed, and would you just, is there somebody here? I believe there are people here this morning that would say, Pastor Glenn, congregation, pray for me. Pray for me because I have been so, I'll use the word bound up by the thoughts of past experience, and I want to be free today. Would you raise your hand? I just want to, amen. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Would you be so bold now to stand up? You just raise your hand. Just do that, please. Just stand up. Be bold. Be bold. Be bold this morning. Be bold in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you want to do. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we praise you. We thank you. Lord, that we can know the truth, and the truth sets us free. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for every person who's standing today. Lord, that somehow you'll give them a fresh, new understanding of the Word of God and of the power that there is in the Word of God. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll help them to memorize the Word, to put it inside, that they can know the truth, and that the truth would set them free. For your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, my brother. Everybody stand, would you? Would you stand? Would you all stand and say that your declaration? You're already standing, so you have to do it now. And it's up to you if it's in your heart, but all of us could say, as the scripture teaches us and as Pastor Glenn taught us today, I say goodbye to my past. Would you say something like that to the Lord today? Whether it was good or bad, some of it was great. I build on that foundation, but I say goodbye to it, and I look ahead in Jesus' name. When I woke up today, the scripture that was on my heart was, I fix my eyes on Jesus, and it starts like this. You are surrounded. Everybody, eyes open. You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That means the people look to your left and look to your right. All these people in this room, I don't know how good of Christians they were this week, but they're witnesses. Jesus is real. Amen. And it goes on to say you're surrounded. Therefore, since you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, this is the scripture. This is energy. Since you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of your faith. He may not be finished yet with you, amen? But he will. He is the author. He's writing it. He's writing it. He's writing it, and he won't fail you. Amen? Amen. Come on up here, my brother. I asked my brother Frank to lead us in a word of prayer. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to do is to pray in front of people. But he's going to close us in prayer, and then you guys are going to go ahead and sing. What are you guys singing? You're worthy of it all. I want to sing a solo to that if I can. I'm singing that really good. I'm just kidding. They're going to continue. They're going to sing, and you can stay and sing with them as long as you want, or you can be dismissed to leave. But please do at least two things today. Would you be nice to people around you? This is family here. And whether you feel like you're family or not, you are now. So be family and stay as long as you like. We're going to be here for a long time today. You stay out there, enjoy yourselves, all right? But we're getting ready to sing this song. But would you close us in prayer, brother?
Pastor Glenn, thank you. I don't remember all the names that you spoke of earlier, but thank you to all those families. I've been absent a lot here at church lately, but just remember, everyone, the Lord is never absent in your heart. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for bringing everyone together this morning. We thank you for blessing us with the opportunity to wake up every morning and to know that we are in your presence. We thank you, Lord, to continue to allow us to leave this church and continue to spread the word of the God and not just leave it at the floor that we stand on today. May you bless our hearts that we can go out and grow our faith from that little mustard seed. Romans 12:9, Lord, we love sincerely, and we just want to go out there and continue to love and share the word of God. We thank you for our brothers and sisters, our family that are to our left and right.
We pray for the families that can't make it to this underground church. Please, Lord, we ask for our forgiveness. We know that you love us dearly, and through all the sins that we do, even if it's one or many, we know that you continue to love us, Lord. We thank you for all that you provide for us, Lord, and we're just here. We are not the providers. The husbands aren't the providers. The wives are not the providers. You are, Lord. And we thank you for what you provide to us. In your glorious name, our Father.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.